hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Beto swoops in to intercept. Beto behind the net. Swings it in front. He's gone!
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
We know you missed us. We are back. Episode number 45 of the Agents of Field podcast. The true and greatest host of this podcast is here. Ryan Lessman, back at you. And I'm joined by two very famous guests on the show, Mr. Brian Lee and Mr. Eric Nybro. Brian, how you doing?
I apologize for not stepping in more while you were out, but it's been a busy summer, so sorry about that.
That is okay. I know things go on. It is a time to refresh and restart anew. Eric, it's been a minute since you've been on as well. How are you?
It has. It's been good for all those people at home. Ryan wouldn't let me do it, so I would just ramble for 45 minutes about nothing. So I never got the
opportunity. To be fair, that was never requested because I might have considered it after 3 or 4 weeks of there being no podcast initially.
You probably have some weird. You probably have some weird, like, stuck in limbo Instagram message I sent you, Eric. But it's fine.
Oh. Ooh, left him on red or left him in the DMs.
Just in the DMs, check that out. Man. I'm that guy going after the hot girl that doesn't even get red.
But we are back, episode 45. We plan to be back pretty frequently now. It will not be a pre-wedding show anymore. It will be a more frequent schedule, a more consistent schedule. And let's get into it. There's been a lot that's happened since the beginning of June. I've asked these two gentlemen to come with some topics they wanted to discuss. We are not going to be able to discuss everything. None of us have the time, and none of you listeners have the time to listen to us talk about everything, because that would be an 8-hour podcast. Brian, starting with you, what is the first topic you brought to the table today?
It's the biggest topic in American sports, Lionel Messi to Inter Miami.
That has been something that we have been talking about since January in the January transfer window.
I always said on this show, do not close the door on it, only because I believed it was possible and it happened. I'm not saying I called it, like I'm not reporting it or whatever. I just believed it was going to happen. And it's a freaking, it's crazy, man.
It's insane. I mean, I was looking at ticket prices to go to watch the Red Bulls and Miami in New Jersey. Every Red Bulls game, get-in price, lowest price, $25. Maximum price, $38. When they play in Miami, get-in price, $388.
That's actually way cheaper than I would have thought. Like Friday's match against, it's a Leagues Cup match against some Mexican team, I believe. The most expensive ticket on there is like $110,000.
It's insane. I mean, Eric, what are your thoughts on this before we dive a little bit deep into it?
No, it's absolutely crazy. I won't complain that I pass it up for like $100. I think original first signed to sit in the 500s in Charlotte here, but I'm not going to mention that because who knows what that would resell for. But it's crazy. I will shout out Brian. He got it right this whole time. He's underestimating what he was saying. You know, he really did come on here and predict that it was going to happen this whole time. I think it even was 2 transfer windows shows ago at this point of him saying that it was going to happen and he was going to come to Inter Miami. So, listen, it happened. Apple cut him a deal. Shout out Apple saying that, hey, this is better for the league. Let's get him in on this. Who knows if there's some other stuff, you know, MLS ownership, whatever it is. But it's really cool to see a guy who's still in his prime, just won the World Cup, was the best player at the World Cup, to be in the MLS playing football with a bunch of American dudes who just hopefully for the best, you know, hopefully he comes here and really gives the full effort.
How many MLS goaltenders are reasonably going to be able to stop anything Messi puts at them?
Soccer's weird that way, though. Like, honestly, when you look at MLS goalkeeping, it's probably the closest to other leagues. Like, on the field, the goalkeeping is probably the closest we have to quote-unquote world class. I'm not saying we have the best goalkeepers in the world, but what I am saying is a bunch of American goalies are now finding their way over in Europe because hand-eye coordination is a thing in America. Like, we do a lot more of that. Like, goalkeeping is something America's actually pretty decent at. That being said, half the league goaltenders or goalkeepers, excuse me, are not even American. But regardless, like, soccer's so weird that way that, like, I don't think the ball comes off Messi's foot differently. I just think it comes from places you never expect it to come from, and the dude's just so smart. It doesn't come off his foot weird. It just, he's always in the right place at the right time.
Yep. No, that's a good point. Another piece of news that I don't believe is officially confirmed, but it's looking that way. It looks like Jordi Alba, one of his former teammates, will be joining him at Inter Miami.
That's not who I thought you were going to say, because Luis Suarez is also probably going to be signed on within the next day or two, and Busquets is already there.
Yes. So they are building a Barcelona circa mid-2010s team.
I don't know how they're getting them all in the salary cap, but that's a different story for another day.
Yeah. I mean, MLS has weird things with designated players and international spots, and they traded like all kinds of other money that they had extra designated spots. And I mean, MLS is just going to give Inter Miami whatever they want now.
Yeah. And then they loaned them, and who knows what they do. Maybe, who was it? Was it Zlatan? One of them came over and was like not a DP the first year. And like the second year he got like triple the money and was a DP. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah. It was probably Zlatan. Cause he showed
but that Galaxy did that
season.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's just, it's insane. I mean, the popularity that Messi is going to bring to MLS in half a season, obviously he'll be there for more than that, but just in this half a season is insane. I mean,
They're too far back to do anything important this year. Like, they could go on and win the League's Cup, but they're literally in 15th out of 15 in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, sure. I mean, success-wise, no, but the popularity to that team and to the MLS in general just skyrocketed. I mean, Inter Miami on Instagram now is the fourth most followed professional sports franchise in the United States, and they have double, if you combine the two top teams in the NFL, the Cowboys and the Patriots, who have, I think, 4.5 and 4.9, Inter Miami, an MLS team that didn't exist 5 years ago, has more Instagram followers than them.
Who's above them? Golden State Warriors.
The Bulls.
Okay.
I want to say the Knicks and probably the Yankees.
So it's all basketball teams. Oh, you think the Yankees are above them? That's interesting.
That would be my guess. I don't know for sure who the...
Was it a soccer team? Or are we just talking the U.S.?
I believe it's U.S. professional sports teams. I saw the tweet and I didn't save it. But I know Miami is in either fourth or fifth right now with 9.5 million.
That's insane. Like, he's,
the Yankees only have 3.3. Are we talking Instagram or Twitter? What are we talking?
I'm getting to it right now. It's the Lakers, right, the Warriors, now. And
they
the Bulls.
They just posted it 43 minutes ago.
Lakers, Warriors, Bulls. So all basketball teams. Because basketball is more international.
Wow, the Warriors have 31 million followers, the Warriors.
Yeah, so Miami is just insane what they're doing right now. And Leo Messi's so casual about it. He's just walking around Publix with his family. Like,
that was hilarious.
But that's what that dude...
Any more southern than that.
That's what that dude does. I'm going to go out. I'm going to make another Messi Inter Miami prediction. They cannot play 17 regular season games at Drive Pink Stadium next year. Inter Miami is going to find their way at Hard Rock Stadium next season. They have to. You can't keep a 12,000 seat temporary stadium and have that guy play there. Like, it's just not going to work.
But they got two more years before, didn't they?
They haven't even broken ground yet. No, they haven't even broken ground yet. So they're targeting 25, but that's if shovels go in the ground tomorrow. And
on the ground.
That's still fast. Like, I don't think it's till 26. Like, Messi's probably going to be done by the time it's – like, they have to play somewhere else. They can't play at Drive Pink Stadium for his entire contract.
No, I doubt it. It's going to be Hard Rock. There's no other way around it, I don't think. I mean
– yeah, they just got to convince – was it Stephen Ross? Stephen Ross loves money. You just give him the dollar amount and he'll be there.
Yeah, Stephen Ross and Jorge Mas, the owner of Inter Miami, don't exactly see eye to eye on things. But like you said, they've – I mean, if the guy can host an F1 race at Hard Rock Stadium, he can host Messi.
No, Stephen Ross is willing to host everything. He was actually the one who started doing the summer games back in the day, like 10 years ago, the ICC, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? That was Stephen Ross's idea.
The International Champions Cup?
So he's all in
Cup?
On soccer. Yeah.
If all else fails, you just move the team temporarily up to Jacksonville. You call them Inter Florida FC, and Shad Khan will be there.
They already call him inner Fort Lauderdale because they don't play in Miami.
That's hilarious. So,
but people are now going to go from Miami to Fort Lauderdale. They won't care.
Correct. So that was my first story, Ryan.
Yep. Do you want to throw out the other thing we talked about before the show briefly, the Cristiano Ronaldo thing, just that, because that kind of ties in.
Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo is not doing himself any favors. He came out with a quote that said the Saudi league is better than the MLS. Debatable, but sure. MLS, Saudi, pretty comparable in the world of soccer. I opened the way to the Saudi league, and now all the players are coming here. He's going to end up in MLS next year.
I would not be surprised by that. I mean, it seems like pretty unique timing for, you know, when Messi just signed, and now you're trashing the MLS.
Now it's like Tom Brady went to another team and then won a Super Bowl and closed all debate Peyton versus Tom Brady, except in my mind, because I still prefer Peyton Manning. But like, he closed the debate when Tom Brady went to Tampa. Like, Lionel Messi has done everything he could to nobody, even the biggest diehard Cristiano Ronaldo fan, can say Ronaldo's better anymore. Like, with what Messi has done in the last 12 months, there's just no possible way that anybody can actually argue legacy-wise that Ronaldo's better than Messi. And part of it is because Ronaldo just can't shut his mouth. So he's not doing himself any favors either. It's going to be really funny when he ends up like at Sporting Kansas City or something in a year. Like, he can come play at whatever team in the MLS will take him. Like, obviously everybody will take him, but he says the Saudi Arabian league's better now. He's going to end up in MLS in a year, and then it's going to be like, well, of course MLS is better because I'm here. So,
right.
I think he's in the Saudi league until the checks stop clearing. He doesn't care until the checks, you know, stop clearing, and all of a sudden,
and he's probably
get paid.
He's probably getting his, he's all butt hurt because, I mean, he's getting what, $207 million a year, and Messi was being offered like 1.3 billion, like, literally double, triple, four times what Ronaldo was making. I'm sure his ego's a little bruised, and he still turned it down.
In the comments.
That's why it's crazy. Messi's in
and
Miami.
he didn't get the Apple offer.
Nope.
He definitely didn't get the Apple offer.
And he won't.
No,
and that ship has sailed.
He's played himself off of so many teams at this point that it's like, what are we doing here? Like, he's just chasing money, and teams that want to be relevant are chasing him for the name. And that's it.
I really want him to go start an avocado farm.
If Zlatan did that, that would be more on par.
I understand Zava was Zlatan, but I thought Cristiano Ronaldo more than Zlatan.
The similarities are unbelievable. I'm binging it right now. It's part of. But yeah, oh my goodness gracious. They didn't even like try to hide it. It was just the same.
No.
But that's a story for another day.
He was locked on like to a T. So funny.
It was even like down to like they're in Ajax and he literally like, oh look, Zava played here. And guess who also played at Ajax? Zlatan.
That's hilarious. Eric, what's your first topic that you bring today?
It seems like a while ago, but we haven't had a show since. The Denver Nuggets won the NBA Finals, stamped their place in history with their first franchise W, never in the NBA Finals.
Yes, that is true. That was insane. I mean, Jokic and is just an unbelievable athlete. And anybody who's bitching about European players can literally kick rocks.
How old are you?
What?
Kick rocks? You're like nobody under the age of 70 says that.
That's incorrect. I've said it at least 12 times on this show.
I feel like the Messi-Ronaldo debate, like Jokic and Simmons, like I feel like we nailed that one too. Like, or no, not Simmons, Embiid. Jokic and Embiid. Yeah. Embiid, like, he can't help himself, man. And I don't even feel bad for him because he didn't deserve the MVP. We all said that anyway. And then the 1 year Jokic doesn't, he goes on an absolute tear and wins an NBA Finals and doesn't even come close to being eliminated. Like,
no.
As quick as the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup last year is as quick as the Nuggets won the NBA Finals this year. Like, they went to six games against Phoenix, sure, but they blew out Phoenix in every game they had to win. And like their hardest series was against the Timberwolves.
The other two were tight. The Sun series was tight. And you have to remember, they have Durant and Kevin and Devin Booker. Those are two of the best players in the league right now. Those are two top 7, 8, 10 guys in the league. And they still demolished them like it was nobody's business.
Sweeping the Lakers was awesome. That was so much fun.
And they came through, like those games are close, but they came through in every single game. They took them when it mattered the most, and they beat them in the fourth quarter of every single one of those games.
That was,
I think, one of the most impressive parts.
That step back 1 foot jumper three that Jokic hit over Anthony Davis was like, oh. Insane. Dude, I'm not a Nuggets fan, but I like Jokic. I love watching Jokic play. I'm stoked for the Nuggets.
I have two more comments on this that maybe will spark debate. Want to give props to the Heat. I mean, to be an 8 seed that had to go through the play-in to get there is pretty remarkable. I know they have talent and they had injuries and whatever, but shout out them. I mean, we wrote them off in round one and they got all the way to the finals and remarkable. Also, Jokic was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Quesarito, baby.
And now he is a NBA champion. Incredible.
That still makes me laugh. Like, he literally got drafted there in a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah.
But that's what I don't like about the draft. Mostly, like, the NBA draft, like, it's two rounds. Just have everyone on. Like, everyone get their moment. Like, why are you running a Taco Bell commercial? They're in the middle.
Well, I can't imagine. I can't imagine Jokic cared about getting the moment. Press conference post game when he's like, the parade's not till Thursday. Like, I want to go home. It was so funny, man. It was so funny. Like Eric said, we haven't. Yeah, that parade. My brother was at that parade and he just said, man, it was like Jokic got up there and he's like, okay, this is what I stayed for. Like, let's do this again. Like, so funny, dude. Yeah. But he just loves his horses. Like, he doesn't give a crap. I love that he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. But he's like the equivalent of Tom Brady, man. Pick what, 199, sixth round? Like, Jokic, like, most second round guys don't even make the team, let alone becoming a two-time MVP and what he is. Nuts.
It's really remarkable, and nobody can have any doubts of if, because people were saying the last couple of years that he really deserved the two MVPs. He absolutely did, and he just shut everybody up. If anyone has any questions about him, then you're dumber than dumb.
Well said.
Great. So, are you sure we're not in middle school with like the kick rocks and dumber than dumb? Have you returned? Have you gone back? Eric backwards?
He's a married man now.
Trying to make sure that his stints on this show come 3 months apart every time.
No, you can't. You can't have that. You miss me too much.
Moving on to our next topic. First topic I'm bringing is the Vegas Golden Knights are the Stanley Cup champions. They defeated the Florida Panthers in 5 games. Truly remarkable for a team that missed the playoffs last year. Had like 7 different goaltenders play for them this year to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, they built that team. Bill Foley said when the expansion draft was going on that they would win a cup by year six. This was year six, and they won the cup. Brian or Eric, what do you think?
Screw them.
I just want to apologize to the Vegas Golden Knights.
I don't. Because I still
sitting
hate
here when we did that episode, round one Blues. Don't listen to that one because we got a lot wrong.
Yes.
Nobody listened to that one. But I sat here and I looked at it and I was looking at the standings and I was like, man, we all got up here. We're like Edmonton. Edmonton's got him. We're going with McDavid. And I looked at the standings. I was like, man, Vegas had 20 more points with them in the regular season. Like, they just kind of feel like something was different. And I still picked Edmonton. I was like, all right, fine. You know, McDavid's due for something here. But I was staring at it and I was just like, man, they just look like they're a step ahead. But then they ended up being a step ahead. So I just want to apologize because I should have went with them. I should have went with my gut. But shout out me. I did say the Panthers were going to win the second round.
Congratulations.
I'll give myself credit. Yep. Pat on the back. I was the only one who believed in the Panthers. Well, I was like, there's no way this team that beat the Bruins, who were historically good, was just going to falter, just collapse. And they did kind of in the finals.
I mean, you say that as if it didn't happen in 2019 when the Blue Jackets beat the historically good Tampa Bay Lightning and then lost in the second round in five games.
Well, I just had a different feeling about the Panthers.
But, I mean, once the Bruins were eliminated, the Rangers were eliminated, the Avalanche were eliminated, and the Lightning were eliminated, it was really anybody's year, and Florida proved that. Yeah. Vegas proved that. I mean, not that Vegas didn't finish first in the division, but it was just
Vegas was pretty.
I mean, they just built such an incredible roster of players who have won Stanley Cups, players who had really low salaries, and players that they could stash on long-term injury reserve. I mean, shout out Mark Stone, who's apparently always injured until the playoffs.
That's just cap circumventing executed perfectly.
It is. It truly is. I mean, Look at the guys they brought in. They brought in Phil Kessel, three-time Stanley Cup champion now. Alex Pietrangelo and Ivan Barbashev, now two-time Stanley Cup champs. I mean, they brought in Jonathan Quick to be the third goalie. Now he's a three-time Stanley Cup champion. Like, they brought in Alec Martinez, now a three-time Cup champ. A lot of guys with Stanley Cup pedigrees. And it worked out. So, Brian, back to you for your next topic.
Rory McIlroy got screwed.
Yes.
They made him march in front of everybody talking about how LIV Golf shouldn't exist and Saudi money's dirty, blah, blah, blah. And the PGA Tour commissioner, his name escapes me now, Jay Monahan, I believe. Yeah, Jay Monahan. Talking like he invoked like 9/11 when discussing like LIV Golf, like tells all these guys, stick with us. Prize money got bigger. Guys made a lot of money, but it was only because they had to. And now the PGA Tour and LIV Golf are merging and all the money's coming from Saudi Arabia. PGA Tour is no longer nonprofit. It's dirty, man. And Rory got absolutely screwed. Rory did stop talking about it about 2 months before. I think Rory had a heads up this was coming, but like this came out of nowhere. Like nobody had this happening, at least not this soon, except for one man named Donald Trump on Twitter, but that's beside the point. It's awful. Like Rory got absolutely screwed. Like sure, golf can do whatever they want, but I feel bad for Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, it's just a tough situation. I mean, For him to be the poster boy for stay with the PGA and everything, and then them to do this to him specifically, I mean, could it? I don't know. I feel bad for him more than I feel bad for anybody. It just sucks. Like, you're tainting your product after it's been critiqued so many times over the years, and you finally kind of righted the ship slightly by increasing the prize money and whatever, and then you do this. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what to think. Eric?
Good for the LIV Golf dudes.
Shout out the PGA and LIV. I was going to say, how'd they keep that quiet? Shout out them for doing that. That was the most impressive thing, I think, out of all of it, is that it was actually a piece of news that was absolutely shocking. Like, at this point, we'll get into it probably later. Like, the Dame Lillard, we know how this is going to end. We know how, most of the stuff comes through. We already have an idea what it is, and it's not shocking when we get it. But this was truly shocking. Now, it quickly didn't become news anymore, very quickly, because that's just a state of golf. But, That was the most impressive thing, I think, out of all this. But it doesn't feel right, but it is what it is. Money talks.
When Max Homa came on shortly after it, and Max was like, I turned down like $180 million to go to live, and now for what? Like, right. I still don't think they've figured out, like, does Brooks actually get, like, all that money he was promised because now they're back with PGA? Like, they proved their point. Like, Phil Mickelson did victory laps for a while.
Yeah.
But, like, is the game of golf going to be better? Probably. Like, honestly, I think these guys are going to play more events. I think the events are going to have more primetime slots, and it's going to be more interesting. Like, the golf is going to be better, but Saudi Arabia is successful, man. They sports watched the entire thing, and it worked. And Jay Monahan, I can't believe he still has his job. I genuinely can't believe it.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, my guess is that obviously, you know, it doesn't take one man to approve this. Like, everyone has to be in on it.
Yeah, everyone but the way he like invoked values and morals and stuff to get these guys to stay, and it worked on some guys. Like, I just feel bad for the dudes that actually took a principled stand that are just getting screwed. Like, I don't hate the guys that chase the money either. Like, good for them, but. I love golf, so I'm good. Yeah.
Eric, you're up.
I'm going to keep the NBA thing going. We had the draft lottery, and we had the NBA draft. Both happened since then. We'll keep that vibe going. We'll go Eric conspiracy theory. If you ever thought that the draft lottery wasn't rigged, this was the year that should have proved it. The Spurs get the star European guy that will keep San Antonio and Pop for however long. That was like a, hey, thanks for tanking. Here you go. The Hornets got pick number 2, and then Jordan sold in between the draft lottery and the draft. That doesn't sound suspicious.
But he also had to make the
definitely
pick.
Definitely Portland. He kind of did.
Yeah, it was weird.
He did it. That was a weird... The value definitely jumped up there, and then he had to sell out. Portland, thanks for never tanking. Here's the number 3 pick. Enjoy your future after Dame. You know, we can keep going down the line. Detroit never shut down Cade Cunningham in November and make it very, very public that he was not coming back. Screw you guys. Houston, you were not putting together a competitive team. You didn't seem like you had a coach who knew what he was doing. You guys fall back too. Just fun. And then the draft was a good time.
And then give Fred VanVleet like $38 million a year.
Yeah, well, after they got screwed over the lottery, I think they decided to throw some money. And,
well, they have to hit the salary floor.
They had to hit the floor. And I think Fertitta's semi-sick of losing because he probably has never lost a day in his life, really. But yeah, then plus, you know, we have women generation talent. Brendan Miller over Scoot. Still don't understand that one fully, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I obviously Wembanyama was going number one. I mean, absolutely insane, dude. Like, he's been I've been hearing his name since like 2 or 3 drafts prior. Like, that's a pretty insane talent to have. Spurs got a good one. Yeah, I agree with you. I had been hearing Scoot was going to be jumping up to number 2 for a long time, and then they still went with Miller. Like, that's tough. But I just want to, while we're talking about Wembanyama quickly, I just want to shout out a guest of our friend of the show, Ed, who tweeted me and goes, Victor Wembanyama, didn't that guy play on Tottenham at one point? That was Victor Wembanyama. So,
who I believe came to the MLS.
Yes, he played. That was not my joke. That was Ed's joke. Yes, he did. He played for Montreal.
Is he still floating around in Montreal?
He very well might be. Which is crazy because he was a starting role next to Moussa Dembele at Tottenham. So, Yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts on the draft?
Watching Wembanyama hold a baseball blew my friggin' mind. Scoot's good. Dame's eventually going to end up in Miami. Even without a no-trade clause, he's got all the power, which is interesting. But I don't know. Like, Wembanyama's awesome, but I don't know if he can stay healthy. I think the more interesting thing about Wembanyama is the Mad Lib that showed up on breaking news about Britney Spears getting hit by Wembanyama's security guard, and everything else that happened around that was bizarre. But
that was bizarre.
I don't have any other thoughts, man. Scoot, I think Scoot's the best player in the draft that's not 7'43" and 94-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
I do too.
Did you see, obviously you saw the video of him holding a baseball, but did you see the video of him getting to Yankee Stadium?
On the subway? Yeah.
On the subway, he doesn't fit. And then he just jumped over because he wasn't going to go through. He couldn't fit under the gate, so he just jumped over the railing.
It's awesome. It's got to be so hard to be him, though. Like, I mean, I know, understand it's cool, but I just can't imagine not fitting anywhere you go in life.
No. Well, that was...
Everything's bigger in Texas.
It was a Hakeem Olajuwon. I was escorting one time at Madison Square Garden, and the dude didn't fit under any door. Like, it was insane. The dude is just like in the elevator, which is pretty tall, had to like crouch over, almost fold himself in half to get out of it. It's insane.
His
that was the
knees.
Tallest dude I've ever been next to. So crazy.
The Ken Victor Wanyama is still playing for Montreal Impact. He is only 32 years of age still.
It's just CF Montreal now. It's not the Montreal Impact, right?
Yeah, sorry, you're right.
No, you're good. I just...
I refuse to change
the name. A lot of teams did that, right? The Houston Dynamo and now Houston FC, right?
I don't think so. They're still the Dynamo, aren't they?
I thought they were Houston FC.
I thought they were still the
Dynamo. I feel like Dynamo is like an actual like approved soccer term, though. I don't know.
They changed to Houston FC.
Let's see. On the app, they are just Houston. You might be onto something. Look at you.
I know something. Wow.
Let's look at the table. No, it still says Houston Dynamo.
Rats.
Sorry. But I think that's like an approved soccer term. So
okay.
That's a little different.
They like that one for now.
All right. Speaking of drafts, we are going to go on to a draft that just happened not too long ago. The MLB draft.
Oh, you're taking...
Let's
talk the NHL draft because the MLB draft will tie into my third topic.
Okay, that's why I wanted to talk about it. That's why, Brian, I said I was going to steal your thunder because we'll go to that. So NHL draft, all right.
Connor Bedard,
really similar good. To the way Victor Wembanyama was the number one pick for years. Everyone knew it was going to be him. It was Connor Bedard. It was always Connor Bedard. And if Eric wants to throw out conspiracies about baseball, I could throw out some about hockey.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Chicago loses Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews because they both were not going to be re-signed because Chicago quite literally tanked. Then they say, here you go. Here's the first overall pick. Instead of like saying, no, you tanked. No first round draft pick for you. And after all the cover up of sexual abuse stuff, no first overall pick for you. They said, here you go. Here's the best player to enter the league since Connor McDavid and before that, Sidney Crosby.
He's going to an original six and the third biggest city in the country. I completely understand why the NHL would rig this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right. And the number two pick was... Crap, who was that? Oh, it was Anaheim. Anaheim had the worst record in the league. They should have gotten the first overall pick. And then Columbus got the guy they should have taken at two, Fantilli from Michigan. Forget about Chicago for a second. Columbus is just collecting University of Michigan prospects just to fuck with them, I feel like, because Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. They've got Kent Johnson, Adam Fantilli, Gavin Brindley, Nick Blankenberg, and there's like Zach Werenski, and there's one other one who I can't remember. Like, it's insane. Like, a third of their roster is University of Michigan guys.
Take your word for it. I'm assuming University of Michigan's really good in the Frozen Four.
Not really. I mean, they make it to the competition every year, but they should be better than they are. I think goaltending has been their weak spot, but they have really good off forwards and defenders.
Okay, but Bedard was like, he just turned 18, right?
Like 2 days ago.
Right. Like he was 17 when he was drafted.
Yes.
Like this dude's an absolute animal. Like they're saying best player definitely since McDavid and probably potentially better than McDavid.
Yes.
Is that possible?
I would say.
Because McDavid's the best player in the league, right?
By far.
Okay. Like Bedard, how long until Bedard is at McDavid's level? 5 years?
Less than that. Two.
That's nuts. And that's why he went to Chicago. That's why I would totally believe it to be completely rigged by the NHL. And
yeah.
And the NBA can stand behind, it's not rigged, we sent him to San Antonio. So, yeah. It doesn't make you feel good because, like you said, the whole covering up sexual assault stuff, not a great look, but the NHL is going to very much benefit from this dude being in that city.
He is. And also, to make matters worse, that Hockey Canada stuff that went on with the 2018 World Junior Classic team, nothing's confirmed, but it sounds like there's a number of players who are potentially involved. And the only team that has two players on that team is Chicago. So they just say,
I was going to play the loser game show sound, but I feel like that's probably in bad taste.
Yeah. Also quickly, fuck Gary Bettman. I hate that dude. Absolutely copping out by telling
teams language
they can't wear themed jerseys because a couple Russian and homophobes decided they didn't want to wear them. Make them sit out and continue to wear the jerseys and sell them for a profit. No matter what it is, it doesn't just have to be the pride, but you know, now we can't get the sick Boston Bruins St. Patrick's Day jerseys. We can't get.
They're still making them, to my understanding. They're just not wearing them pregame like they did.
Well, that's what I mean. We can't get the ones from auction signed by the players or whatever. Not that I was doing that, but people can't get them and people can't see their favorite players wearing a Hockey Fights Cancer jersey anymore because, again, seven players decided to ruin it for the league.
The Stahl brothers.
Yes, that is why I was rooting against Florida. Because I also it's Florida, but
I don't want to get political here, but no. Like it became a distraction that the league didn't want anymore. Like probably the second most quote unquote conservative fan base in the world is hockey fans outside of like football fans. It's probably the most conservative fan base like overall.
Yeah.
So it became a story that the NHL just didn't want. I'm with you. Like to just remove it like doesn't work either. But we all know this was about one specific jersey. It had nothing to do with the Hockey Fights Cancer. Like no, we had to know it had to do with one specific jersey. They're trying to make it go away. And I think if you pulled the average NHL fan, I think more people are on the side. And that's the jacked up world we live in right now in general, dude, is nobody can agree on anything whatsoever. Yeah. So I don't necessarily hold. Do you think it was Bettman's decision?
I don't know that it was 100% his decision. However, what I do hold him accountable for is the public relations disaster or nightmare that he caused with the interview he gave because of it.
Well, he's not new to public relations disasters either.
No, he gave such a, we are caving into the people who don't like this answer.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a, either at least neutral, if not a proper stance or a, maybe not proper because everyone's entitled to whatever opinion they want, but you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Like there was a way to do this where you didn't isolate a group of people and he did not do that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. Doing away with the program isn't good either, but I side with the players that if they, for whatever reason, they chose not to wear it, like they had that right as well. Like, but then they get vilified and everything else. He was trying to, like, I'm not defending Bettman. I don't agree with the decision either, but making the problem go away, he might have done that. And I don't know, like, none of it's good, man. Like, it's just, it's when politics come with sports, man, it's not fun.
No. Yeah. So let's move on before we, people stop listening to our show, all five of them. Brian, your last topic you want to bring to the table today.
I jumped on the bandwagon at the beginning of the season. I said college baseball was fun. This college baseball season was as fun as any, partially because I was in the center of it. LSU won a College World Series by obliterating Florida in the final game three deciding game because they got obliterated the day before. 68,888 Jell-O shots were consumed by LSU fans in Omaha. The very first team ever to have the first and second overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft.
That is where I was going earlier.
Paul Skeens went to Pittsburgh in his final outing against Wake Forest, which was an awesome 2-0 LSU win over Wake in 11 innings. Paul Skeens went 7 2/3, 123 pitches, and 41 of them were over 100 miles an hour. Dude's an absolute machine. He's going to be really good in Pittsburgh. And Dylan Cruz could potentially be the next Mike Trout. The only thing that's going to prevent that is he's in Washington.
So before Eric goes on this, I just want to say that what's the guy's name that went first overall? I had it up just
Paul Skeens.
Yeah, Paul Skeens. He'll be very good in Pittsburgh until they inevitably deal him in 2028 for cap relief when they don't need cap relief because they always deal players right before they're like about to be a star.
So what you're saying is Paul Skeens is the next Garrett Cole. I'll sign on for that.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
And Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole wasn't that great in Pittsburgh. Or neither was
Glasnow. That's what I was thinking.
Or Keller finally found it this year.
So he'll be traded next offseason probably. If you're a pitcher who plays in Pittsburgh, you will be sold right before you become a star.
No, I don't think they'd do that. Unless he was just like bad in the minors this year and then bad in the minors next year.
He'll be in the bigs next season. Like, he could be on the April roster, but I don't think he's going to make it this year.
Yeah.
But that kid from Tennessee last year that throws like 105 that plays for the Angels, like, he's up now.
Yeah, he's up.
He has problems with control, but Skeens isn't going to have that issue, I don't think. But Skeens is a monster. Cruz is a monster. Tommy White, who hit that home run against Wake Forest, he's coming back next year to LSU. Like, college baseball, especially with the existence of NIL, could become a big deal over the next decade where guys, it's new actually.
Top picks are college players.
Yeah. Which is very, very rare. The third pick was a high school guy, but then Caglione from Florida went fourth. Like, the college guys, it's financially beneficial for them to go to college now, where in baseball it never was the case. So I think college baseball is just going to get more and more fun. LSU led the attendance, and there was 450,000 people that came out to college baseball at LSU this year. Like, that's crazy. So that team won a national championship. That team was super fun. They were super talented. And like I said, I was just kind of at the center of all of it, and it was a blast.
Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, when that was going on, I know you had some stressful times, but it seemed like it was a lot of fun, and congratulations to LSU. One thing I'm looking at right now, how the hell did Seattle have three first round picks?
Trades. I mean,
for being so good last year and they had three first round picks still.
Dude, it's like, you think draft picks get thrown around in football and basketball. Like, just look at trades and draft pick swaps and everything else that happens in Major League Baseball. So
that's crazy.
It's a lot of it's financial and bailing on money, but like, it could happen.
They had three first round draft picks and didn't take a single player from college. They took all high school guys.
Hey, man, cool. You got Julio Rodriguez that you think's got franchise where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's fair. Eric, anyone not from the top five stick out to you?
Oh, boy. Put me on the spot here. I usually have a guy from each draft. The guys I kind of liked were the big guys, because I had turned on a little bit of the College World Series and was like, these guys are real deal. Obviously, we mentioned them. Do I have another guy? I know I was always. I don't think I have another guy. I don't think I have a guy that I'm really impressed with.
I think Dolander. We'll
see what happens. They're all kind of young.
Dolander from Tennessee, really good pitcher. I feel really bad for him that he got drafted by the Rockies, because they have no clue how to develop pitching in that organization.
That's the other thing that I don't have faith with, is that sometimes I like these guys and I'm like, oh, they went to the Nationals or the Rockies, or it's like, now I don't feel good about you anymore. Now I don't believe as much as I used to, at least.
That's...
Baseball's tough. The good teams produce prospects like crazy. The bad teams don't. You can tell almost immediately.
That's absolutely fair. I mean, look at how bad those teams that you just said have been for quite a few years.
Went to a World Series 16 years ago. Leave me alone.
One player I did want to bring up, not because I knew anything about him coming into the draft, but it's a cool story. Arjun Nimala, who was drafted by the Blue Jays with pick 20, is the first player ever of Indian descent to be selected in the first round, and is going to be looked to become the first player to make it in the majors.
So, an Indian player has never been to the major leagues?
That's what it said. Sportsnet, on the day of the draft, said will now look to become the first player of Indian descent to play in the majors.
Wow, that's crazy.
Never play in the majors. They play in the minors, because that's what the what's it called movie's about, right? What's that movie called?
I know who you're talking about. This,
like,
yeah,
10
yeah,
or
yeah.
15 minutes.
Amy Adams, right?
Yeah, no, that was Trouble with Curve.
Oh.
No.
Was Sid Finch?
That was Clint Eastwood and Amy.
Sid Finch was from India, right? Brian, do you know who Sid Finch is?
No.
You don't? Eric, do you know who Sid Finch is?
No, I don't think I do.
It was an April Fool's joke run by Sports Illustrated in the 80s. They wrote this whole piece on this dude that could throw like triple digits, and back when nobody was throwing 100 miles an hour, and he did it with one shoe and stuff, and people fell for it for months, and it was an April Fool's joke that Sports Illustrated ran, and it was awesome.
Oh, John Hamm, Million Dollar Arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those guys never made it, though.
I was going to say Million Dollar Something, but I was going to say Million Dollar Baby, and I didn't think that was right. So
that is not the same movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so wouldn't know.
Hillary Swank dies. She hits her head on a stool in a boxing ring. It's rough. It's been 20 years, man. It's statute of limitations is up. Probably 15 years.
Yes. So, but yeah, shout out Arjun Nimala. I hope it works out for him. That's an awesome story to follow, and could make the Blue Jays a little bit more interesting.
If Eric, it works out. Is Hillary Swank hot or not?
I'm not sure if I speak on this. We'll go with.
It's like central to an episode of The Office as well. But
I know exactly what you're referencing, and I know exactly the conversation.
When Michael
breaks
the tie.
I know my answer. I just don't know if I want to say it out loud.
She's not. Eric, go with your next topic.
I'm just not. I'll go baseball. Keep it on baseball. I just want to bring up Shohei Ohtani, because he's really good at baseball. But he's doing something extremely special that we've never seen in a million years. Listen, I was slow to the Ohtani thing, I'm not going to lie. But he's really figured it out. He's got it all down. He's one of the top pitchers in the league and one of the top hitters in the league. It is absolutely incredible, the numbers he's putting up. I think he's up to 35 home runs already on the season. His pitching numbers are incredible. Nobody knows if he's a better pitcher or hitter. And we really don't have any idea. But he plays for the second team in LA and on the West Coast. So he just doesn't get the love. I still don't think he has enough love. Like, I still don't think so. He's batting .306 with 35 home runs. I'm now pulling up the numbers just so I can say them out loud.
Like, 35 home runs is on pace to what Judge did last year. That's the pace.
Six triples. Lead the league. He leads the league with six triples. His slugging is .677. His OPS is 1.608. OPS plus 185. This is absolutely insane. And this is just hitting. Then we get into pitching. He's got a 3.5 ERA. He does lead the league in wild pitches. That's a different story for another day. But he has the lowest hits per nine in the entire league with striking out almost 12 batters per nine. It's absolutely insane.
He's going to break the sport when he signs for $700 million.
Oh, absolutely.
And he should, honestly. Like, he should get, like, he should get 700 is probably exaggerating, but he should get 400 as a hitter and 250 as a pitcher. Like, and he should settle for nothing less than 600, 650.
His pitching last year, he was at a 2.33 ERA last year.
That's insane.
He was.
That's
a little higher this year at the 3.5. But it's still insane. I think his lowest batting average against, I think,
you know,
too,
what's
right now. He's just,
you know, what's
insane.
Crazy is that he's going to be an impending free agent on an LA team that's not very good. Right? Like, they haven't been. And the Yankees, who are last in their division and really should not be buying at this deadline, people keep saying, send him to the Yankees, send him to the Yankees. Why? When you could get him potentially for free in the offseason in a year where you suck, why are you giving up assets for him?
If he goes to the Yankees, America starts hating him. I do not. He can go to any other team. If he goes to the Yankees, people start hating him. And that's what I don't want. Sure, like ESPN, everybody else wants that because – of course you want that. You want him on your premier franchise.
Right.
Like, I understand everything, but the casual, or not even the casual, the average baseball fan's going to turn on the guy if he plays for the Yankees. If he goes anywhere else, it's fine. Maybe Boston.
Everything's out there for a reason, right? My guess, conspiracy theory time. Somebody wants it out there. The guy who's maybe seat getting a little higher, Brian Cashman. Hey, I'm in on the best beer. I'm in on him. I'm intrigued. I'm willing to throw stuff on the table for him. It's been a bad year, but I'm willing to get him. But for the Yankees, it doesn't make as big a sense. But I don't think the Yankees ever want to throw away a season. And I don't think they'll ever admit that. And that's why I think they're in on him. That there will be at least. And then also, Shohei, when he originally signed, didn't want to sign for an East Coast team. So if you trade for him, he has to come play for you. So he has to give you the opportunity at least for a half a season, and then you try to impress him to sign him long term. And because I bet he still doesn't want an East Coast team.
No, that's probably fair.
I want Seattle to rent him. I want Seattle to have Shohei for 3 months just to see what happens.
But is Seattle really that much better than the situation right now? Like, how much better is Seattle right now? Are they still like meddling around 500?
Yeah.
And I've been off the grid for a little bit, but geez.
Yeah, but watching him in Seattle and hopefully they could recreate a playoff run would be fun.
The Seattle's 47-46. The Angels are 47-48.
The simple fact is there's only three, maybe four teams in the entire league that can even afford the guy, and it's the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, and the Red Sox. He's going to go to one of those four teams, and it's going to suck when he signs with the Dodgers.
I'm not sure what the Red Sox are willing to pay anybody anymore.
I don't think they will, but I think they could afford it.
They're willing to pay anybody. They can afford it. That's the bad thing about baseball, is that there's about four or five teams that are willing to pay big dollars. There's five teams that are willing to do it when they're good. And there's 15, and then that's it. The other 20 teams aren't spending money and at elite prices.
Fair enough. Let's move on to our last topic. It should be a short one, but I find it very interesting that the New York Jets, for the first time, are the subject of Hard Knocks.
Not the first time? No, they had Rex Ryan.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
That's right. I forgot about that. People were making such a big deal about it that I forgot that they had done it for. Yeah, but it's going to be so interesting with the Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson dynamic and whatever the hell else is going on over there.
Feeling hot.
Hard Knocks hasn't been interesting in 5 years.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a long time.
Aaron Rodgers.
I never watched it.
Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I'm over the dude. I like him. I think he's fun to watch play quarterback, but especially if he knows what the cameras want, and that's like 9/11 conspiracies and COVID vaccination conspiracies and everything else that Aaron Rodgers is like now spouting on mushrooms and whatever. I think it's going to be so overplayed. No, thank you.
I would not be surprised if he does not finish this contract in New York. He plays the 1 year because the media just gets to him.
No, I think he's going to eat it up. I think he's going to play well. Like, I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be pretty good.
They could be good. I don't think it'd be good. That was the biggest lock, though. Obviously, they were going to be hard knocks. Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, they had, there's so many rules. Like, yeah, there's so many rules to qualify. There was only like three teams. They almost made the Lions do it again.
Right.
But when Rodgers went, it was like, yeah, it's a done deal. Because the Jets couldn't, like, the Jets wanted to say no, and they couldn't.
They can't say no. Yeah. They tried. They tried to at least throw it out there and be like, hey, we don't want this. There's nothing you can do. You stink. Like, you just, if you literally just make the playoffs one time, you're good for 3 years, I think. I think it's 3 years.
Can you imagine if the Broncos got it and we had to friggin' watch Russell Wilson highlights for, I might just, it would just throw up.
And Sean Payton yelling at him.
It would just be Hainese on a plane for multiple weeks.
You reminded me Sean Payton's my head coach. That's a good feeling. I actually like that.
That's interesting. That's still, I still obviously money talks. Yeah. The part Walmart. Of this episode, money talks, right? But the theme. But I still can't believe Sean Payton decided to go there after what Russell Wilson showed this year.
Yeah, yeah. But just going back to Aaron Rodgers really quick, I want to, since we're in a week where a dude fumbled the bag so hard with Ariana Grande, I just want to remind everyone that Aaron Rodgers fumbled the bag with Shailene Woodley. Tough.
Who fumbled the bag with Ariana Grande? Please educate me.
Her husband. They are getting a divorce because he couldn't handle her fame.
Who was she married to?
Dalton Gomez. He was an architect, I believe.
I couldn't probably handle her fame. Yeah, he had
like a normal job.
And
he was like he had a normal job, but like worked in an expensive part of it.
The question was there a prenup? Because usually you got to worry about the famous dude and then the girl needing the prenup. But there probably was a prenup here. Ariana Grande is probably going to make it out okay.
Probably.
I mean, she's back on the market. None of us are on the market. But
Pete Davidson.
Hasn't that already happened?
That happened already, but someone was like, Pete Davidson has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever.
Pete's back in the game.
Although he is in rehab right now, I believe. So.
Is he?
Oh, is he really?
I heard something that he had checked himself into rehab.
He talks about, man, him talking about the John Mulaney intervention, and now it had to go the other way. That's a bummer.
Yeah, that is.
If true, Ryan could be just spreading stuff.
No, well, it's on.
And now it's on the internet, Ryan. 13 people heard you say it.
No, John Mulaney special that he talks about, it is on Netflix, so.
No, I know, but doesn't talk about Pete Davidson.
Oh, no, not him going. I thought you meant John Mulaney talking about Pete Davidson part. I was like,
yeah.
No, that happened.
Pete Davidson is in rehab.
Somebody right now.
Look at this. All right, so
I'm saying Page Six had it 3 weeks ago.
So. PTSD. Look at this. This is a segment we like to call Google It.
Well, yes.
He was charged with reckless driving about a month ago. So, very possible.
Don't you just live in New York to not drive, though? I thought that was the whole point.
I mean, he lives on Staten Island.
I think he likes to, yeah, but I think he likes to spend a lot of time in.
He lives on Staten Island, like that means anything to me.
It's like a suburban borough, more or less.
He's the king of Staten Island, I understand.
Yeah. he would like to be. No, he is. And
all right. While before the show gets any more of us bumbling, Brian, you have an Infinity Gauntlet trivia question for us?
I do not.
Okay, so we will skip that for today.
I know, it's crazy. Either it's all a joke or none of it is.
Best of both worlds.
Oh, God!
Listen to your mom.
All right, so before we start the bandwagons, I quickly want to give a Regal review while this is on. I watched a very good animated movie over the hiatus. I watched Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
God, I hate you.
It was the best Shrek spinoff or Shrek property since Shrek the Third.
Ooh, very, very high praise.
John Mulaney is the voice of the villain in that. Florence Pugh is the voice of Goldilocks. Salma Hayek is the partner cat, whose name I can't remember because I watched it like 3 weeks ago, to Puss in Boots. It is a very, very good movie. I enjoyed it a lot.
Was it the only animated movie you saw during this hiatus?
No, I also did see Across the Spider-Verse, but I figured that was already
and covered. It's better than Puss in Boots.
Oh, it's better than Puss in Boots. It's the that franchise is the best animated movie ever. Or the set of animated movies ever.
Certainly. Yep.
It's I don't see how that movie is coming out next year, especially with everything.
It's not
going out right on right now, but even before that, like the animators took them. What did they say? It took 4 years to animate the spider chase sequence.
Yeah.
You're going to hash out this movie. I know you've been working on it longer than just since Across the Spider-Verse came out, but you're not getting that movie out in March of 2024. There's no way.
I don't think it's coming out in 2024 at all. I think it's coming out in 2026. That's when I think it's going to come out.
I think they'll push it to late 25, like July 25. Mid 2025. How about that?
It was so good.
So good. But all right, Bruce Banner's bandwagon. Eric, go ahead.
Cool. I will start here with I'm going to hop on the Brian and Anthony bandwagon. Got to suck up here. Met the guys in person for the first time at Ryan's wedding. Fun time. Good time, good people. Hop on both of their bandwagons, and then team them hopping off. I'm hopping off the Rays. I'm mad they're in the middle of this Cole Funk because I would have hopped off of them weeks ago. I thought they were shady. They're terrible on the road. Well, not terrible, but they're just a 500 team on the road. So it felt like a little weird. They got off to that hot start. If you take that hot start away, they're kind of near the 500 mark for the season. So I just feel like they're not as good as the record shows. Wouldn't be shocked if the Orioles pass them, to be honest, and take that division.
Okay. Brian.
I thought it might be one of my three topics, but I figured it was bandwagon worthy. Ellie De La Cruz, that guy's an absolute animal. He's so much fun to watch out in Cincinnati. Whatever they're doing out in Cincinnati is working. But he stole second, third, and home all within two pitches. It was awesome. He's super fun to watch. He throws his bat. He throws his helmet. He talks trash. He's super fun. I'm also on the bandwagon of The Bear season 2 on Hulu. Really, really good. I'm middling on the bandwagon of Secret Invasion. You got to show me something in these final two episodes before I'm out. I'm not out on Marvel. I just don't love Secret Invasion. They're going for the shock value and not story content.
Seriously. That hurts me. That really hurts me.
I think it's a fine show, but I think there needs to be more thought, and I need something to happen in these two episodes that really gets me thinking it was worth my time. $250 million is a lot of money, man.
I know I've probably said this before, but or with other shows, but legitimately, and I know that this will not change just because of how similar it is to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in terms of the spy and thriller and action and stuff like that. This is probably my favorite Marvel, not movie, but project on Disney Plus since WandaVision. So it is right now it's number two for me because it's just so similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Predictable? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me that anyone could have predicted the halfway through season one turn.
Yeah, we'll talk offline.
Okay. Any other bandwagons you're jumping off? Because you had one that you were middling on.
No.
Okay. Bandwagon I am jumping on is being married. It's pretty cool. It's awesome. You get to live with a person. like being married. My wife is not here to make me say that, so I'm saying that on my own free will. Bandwagon, I am jumping off. I was so in on this guy, and because of what's going on with the writers and the Screen Actors Guild, I am out on Bob Iger right now. He has made some outlandish, distasteful statements about the whole situation.
It's all posturing, dude.
I know it is, but it's for people who have made you ridiculous amounts of money, it's tone deaf. It's so incredibly tone deaf. And to think that this guy is now leading one of the top companies in the world, it's tone deaf. And what else is he being tone deaf about? I know I'll probably get over it, and I'll eventually go back to Disney probably next year and forget all about it. But I'm a little bit ticked at what he had to say about the situation and the fact that now movies are going to get delayed and he's going to cut things that I really enjoy because he didn't get his way. So it is what it is, but yeah.
I got one more. I don't think I've said it on this show. Actually, I definitely haven't. I'm on the bandwagon of Jury Duty. Watch it.
Not going to Jury Duty, the show Jury Duty.
Yeah, the show Jury Duty on Amazon Prime Freebie or whatever. It's awesome.
All right. So that is our bandwagons. Brian and Eric, thank you. Anything either of you want to plug? Eric, starting with you. Go. You don't have anything?
No, I was going to say no, I don't, but I was going to say back to something. It was funny. I almost brought up Ellie Delia Cruz as my own topic. So funny that me and Brian had the same thoughts on that. But no, I'm good. Something you can pass it on to Brian.
You're
now.
Missing something. What am I missing? Thomas is the best left tackle in the league.
Yeah, we're not in football season. We'll keep
that's
that
just an
them.
Eric sign off.
I'll get that back to yeah, it is usually my Eric sign off. I decided to keep it calm today, and you know we're not in the football mindset yet. I haven't gotten there yet. When we get there, we'll be talking about that.
All right, Brian, anything you want to plug?
Andrew Thomas is the best left tackle in the league.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Ryan took it. I was gonna drop it, and then Ryan took it. United We Fan is now on the Chip and Company podcast network. Just gets us to bigger audience, more people. We did a theme park, Universal Orlando versus Disney World attractions bracket. Ryan, I know you've ridden the champion. So tune in and listen to that. Part one was last week. Part two is this week. And then Haunted Mansion comes out next week. It's Barbenheimer week. Go to the movies.
Hell yeah.
I have zero interest in really either film, but it'll be a fun cultural event, if nothing else.
Yes, the best cultural event since Batman Mia in 2008.
I have a bandwagon I'm off of, and it's Barbie. Everybody's already decided they're going to love it, and it's probably not going to be that good, but we're going to have to pretend like it's the greatest thing ever.
Tough, tough outing, because I'm only going to see Barbie. I'm not going to see Oppenheimer.
The part that Amy Schumer was about to be Barbie, would have been a completely different tone of a movie,
and I would have hated it because
it would have been very
Margot Robbie's cool half
interesting, but it would have never had the popularity it has now if Amy Schumer was
that's
Barbie.
Absolutely correct.
It just feels like another remake of the Lego movie, man. Will Ferrell's President Business.
Fair. All right, so things I want to plug. Let's hope the strike ends soon so we can get actors and writers properly compensated and get to back to making movies and TV. And follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, maybe not so much Twitter, at Agents of Field Podcast and at Agents of Field Pod. Rate, review, subscribe if you're enjoying the show. And until next time, we will see you at the movies.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.